Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Thanks for allowing us to share this time with you. Honestly, it's our favorite time of the day where we get to hang out together and talk about how the truth of God's Word can make a huge difference in your life. And that's what we're going to hear from Richard in a way that only he can do, with words of hope, insight, and humor. You may be stuck in traffic or stuck in life. Either way, today's message is going to help get you on the right track as you learn how much God loves you right where you are. So let's get right into today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Life Choices. And I'd like to start with a little couple of places, different websites, some stuff I found. And if you want to look this up, it's at afa.net, the first one. So listen to this. Florida state law provides protection against taking, possessing, disturbing, mutilating, destroying, or causing to be destroyed, selling or offering for sale, transferring, molesting, or harassing any marine turtle or its nest or eggs at any time. It goes on to say federal law provides even greater protection and criminal penalties as severe as $100,000 and a year in prison if you take, quote, take, harass, harm, pursue, hunt, shoot, wound, kill, trap, or capture any marine turtle, turtle nest, and or eggs, or attempt to engage in any such conduct. Sea turtle eggs have been welcomed in life and protected in law since 1973, when they found shelter under the Endangered Species Act. Paradoxically, 1973 was the very same year in which abortion was legalized by the infamous Roe v. Wade decision. So if you go look up information on bald eagles, same thing. And you say, well, why? What do they care? Rebecca and I were in Mexico on a trip. The hotel where we were, I didn't know this was part of their deal, but they had a whole nest of sea turtles. And this area was protected, you know, cordoned off. And while we were there, some of the sea turtles hatched. And I got video out on the beach, and these sea turtles are, they dump them out on the beach, and they scamper, and they try to direct them, and you know, there's hundreds and hundreds of these little sea turtles. And I said, so like, how many of these sea turtles are going to make it? They said, well, maybe one, right? But they've got to protect all the eggs and all the sea turtles so that one makes it, because they'll be extinct if not. Now you say, well, so this sounds like some kind of pro-life message. You're very smart. You are very smart. You say, but you do these every year. You're correct. Keep coming back. And what I really wasn't aware of is there a lot of churches won't even broach this subject. Too nervous. People get upset. They'll leave. As long as I'm here, we're going to talk about it. And I ain't leaving as far as I know today. So you say, well, I don't agree. All I'm asking you to do today is listen, right? And use the logical side of your brain as we process through this. And I'm going to read you some of these arguments. I got all, you know, all the stuff that people use to say, well, you know, it should be okay. It's never going to be okay, right? The only reason it's okay is that we figured out a way to do it. Just because you can doesn't mean you should, right? And so for millennia, there have been people get pregnant however they get pregnant and don't want to be pregnant. Shoot, there are people that have babies that don't want to have babies, right? So if your toddler is screaming in the night, you just don't go in there and shoot your toddler. I don't want this baby anymore. Well, it's a little late for that. But that's the argument for getting pregnant. I don't want this baby anymore. Well, you just can't decide that after the fact. Abortions actually have gone down in America, which is a good thing, right? That is a good thing. Some of it's because of contraceptives and these drugs that you can take after you have sex. And, you know, they're not having abortions, but the medication's taking the kid out. It's just so strange to me how that all 100% of the people who are pro-choice got born. So fascinating to me. So they're able to make choices in life, not life choices, but they all got born. And yet they're for taking out certain people for whatever reasons. A friend of mine, Brian Fisher, has a ministry called Human Coalition. You go to that, humancoalition.org. And actually, they do pregnancy centers where most people don't want to do them. Inner cities, drugs, really tough situations where prostitutes get pregnant. They're not even thinking about it a lot of times. They're just looking for a way to get rid of this problem and go back to work. And so I went to their office, go in their office. They literally have a whole office, a room set up where around the clock people come pray because it's war, right? Because you got these women, men, parents. I have stood in a bathroom in my house on a phone with a girl whose mother was forcing her, young girl, forcing her to go get an abortion. And I'm trying to talk this little girl off the ledge, and she knows what's about to happen and kind of out of her control somehow. It's gotten messed up. Now you can say, well, I don't want to think about that. Why don't we just talk about Jesus, right? Let's just talk about Jesus. You're going to have a hard time talking about Jesus and not taking a stand. So here's some of the arguments that Brian hears, and I'm going to give them in order that he says they come at him. Number one thing for getting legislation passed is rape and incest. Actually, less, and it's a horrific thing to think that anybody gets pregnant, rape and incest. You think it's catastrophic. And I'm going to give you an example, and please just track with me. If you were mugged and beaten on the street and were trying to heal, took you 6 months to heal, and because you thought that wasn't fair, you went out on the street and shot an innocent person, would that be fair to the innocent person? So a person is raped, there's some situation of incest. You say, but that's terrible for that person. There's two people involved. See, you're focusing on what happened to the young girl. I'm with you. It's catastrophic. But now you have this innocent child in a womb going, okay, I didn't have anything to do with anything. I just got conceived. So am I going to be sacrificed because, you know, and nobody's asking these kids. So rape, incest, the life of the mother. This is one of the arguments. Now this one I've got a spot for, right? I say, okay, if literally it's the life of the mother, but I can tell you the mothers I interact with, if something goes wrong and there's a way to save her baby or her, I don't know many moms who go, well, yeah, kill the baby. I want to live. Any parent is willing to give their life for their child. But if literally some wacky thing goes down and the mother is going to, you know, it just has to happen. Okay, maybe. But even then it's just catastrophic. Personhood, back to the, you just can't, you're not going to win that argument. And science, sonograms, the reason why the abortionists don't want sonograms in clinics is because when a woman looks on a sonogram and sees a beating heart within just weeks of the conception, nobody can look at that and say, it's not a person. There's a heartbeat, right? So they hate that because they lose those funds from those abortions. Now, let me interject this in here. You say, now you're pounding on this abortion thing again. I'm not pounding on you if you've had one. I sit with women who've had 6, 7 abortions. You say, well, is there mercy for them? Killing someone is not the unpardonable sin. So you have to give people hope, right? So you can take a stand for life, but you also have to offer life to people who may have made a terrible life choice and tell them they can make a different life choice. But you can't be afraid. Go to Psalm 139. Some of you have read this. You say, well, I already know what this says. Good for you. Listen, some people have never heard it, so we're going to read it for them. And by the way, it's not what you know the Bible says. It's what you do that the Bible says that changes you and the world. People say, well, I'll defend the scriptures. Like, you know what? Defend them with your life, not with your words. Live it. Psalm 139, verse 1. O Lord, you have searched me and know me. You know my sitting down, my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me. Even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. And then listen to verse 13 and following. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works. and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they are all were written, the days fashioned for me when as yet there was none of them. Doesn't sound like a non-person, like not part of the process. So if you're not a person when you're conceived, when did you become a person? You say, well, when I was born. Then why do we have NICU units? We just ought to make a law and say, you know what? If you come out before 9 months, we can take you out. See, the problem is there's laws being passed to do just that, which is basically infanticide, that the baby can be born, and if really the parents really had, you know, they really didn't want this child, it can be laying on the table, and then they can make a choice for this child. And if that doesn't do something to you, I don't know what's up, right? Like, what are we doing? But trying to put every protection in to be able to do what? What we want to do. Another part of this, Pat, well, let's just keep reading. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, there would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I'm still with you. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, you bloodthirsty men, for they speak against you wickedly. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate them, O Lord, who hate you? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. And then he closes with this. And this is what I'm encouraging you on a topic like this especially. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. And see if there is any wicked way in me and lead me in the way of everlasting. So is it possible that I could be wrong? You could be wrong about something. You say, but I believe this. Make sure you can back up what you believe with Scripture. Amen. Well, this is my opinion. I'm really not interested in your opinion. I'm interested in what you believe, and can you back up what you believe with Scripture? Not jerk-averse theology, but Scripture. You say, well, I don't agree. I'm just going to do what I want to do. Okay, and how's that going to work out for you? Because if the Holy Spirit is working on your heart and your brain and you're using logic going, yes, science, yes, all these things, it can't be both ways. What is it? Is it a person? It's a person. And if it's a person, then you say, well, if I speak up, let's say I say, okay, I agree, it's a person. And then I'm going to get in a conversation and I'm going to speak up and I'm going to stand for the truth. And then I'm going to lose my job or be persecuted or shunned. What did you think was going to happen? What does the Scripture say? In this world, you will have tribulation. You will have persecution. You will suffer. Well, I could lose my job. Are you going to keep your job over a lie to defend something you can't defend? And I say this periodically about different topics. This is one of them. People just say, you know what? Good for you, preach. I don't agree. We're out of here. If you would just stick to Jesus and leave these political sensitive issues alone, you know, we could come, but you crossed the line. I'm going to keep crossing it. Because there's nobody to cross it for these little kids. And I'm really always fascinated by, you know, it's down to 800,000, 900,000 children in America killed, slaughtered every year. Half of those are women. So it's all about women's health. And what about their women's health? If we're going to get all concerned about 400,000 young girls who are not going to see the light of day, because what? I don't want to be pregnant. This is inconvenience, all these things. John chapter 10, one guess what verse I'm going to read. The mission statement of hell. John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But what did Jesus follow up that with? I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. So as we say along the way, I'm not just pro-life, I am pro-abundant life. So what does that mean? That means, okay, so you rescue a kid and the mother says, okay, I'm not going to abort this child. And so the kid is born. We go, okay, good luck. No, you've got to surround that girl, that family, that whatever it is. And a lot of these clinics that try to help the girl see, the dad and the mom see, this is a person, and they make that choice. Now it's diapers. Now it's discipleship. It's follow-up. It's not just about saving a life any more than we are about just seeing someone become a Christian. You say, well, isn't that enough? There is so much more. A lady told me just the other day, she said, you know, I became a Christian. I thought that was it. And then I came here and y'all kept talking about relationship. Like, what? a relationship with God, a personal relationship. I was with a man I've known for decades, just the other day, a guy named James Robison. Anybody ever heard of a guy named James Robison? James Robison, you know, he's on fire all the time. I was on the phone with him a couple days ago, and he just, you know, he had to have been behind a pulpit, and he was driving his car. He's just on fire preaching all the time. So, which is good. That's fine. His mother was raped, and he's the result, okay? She made a really good decision. You say, but that's very painful. I'm not minimizing any of that. And everybody that disagrees with me on this got born. Steal, kill, destroy. Okay? So you got to understand that's the enemy's plan. Steal, kill, destroy, offset by what? Life to the full, more abundantly. So is God trying to ruin your life? No, he's trying to save your life, not just for eternity, but even here. I've shared this multiple times, I'm sure. What did I tell my girls growing up? You make life choices. Whose life ultimately are they affecting? It has consequence. There's kids in this room, and some of you are making great life choices, and some of you are making some terrible life choices because you think it's cool, it's what everybody's doing, smoke a little weed, do a little this, that, and you think that's cool. Okay, so it's cool. But let's say you smoke a little weed, drink a little alcohol, do whatever, and cool turns into not so cool when you're in rehab. Or the guy I talked to the other day, whose dad's an alcoholic, he'd say he's not an alcoholic, and was at a bar, had a beer, one of his coworkers, a female, not unattractive, and he has two or three more beers, and the girl decides that she's in love with him, and he's married to someone else. And so she starts crying, he goes to console her, and his wife walks in the bar. So now drinking's not so cool. You say, well, the Bible doesn't say you can't drink. All things are lawful. Not all things are expedient. I asked him if he'd ever been to the Grand Canyon. He said he had. I said, you know, crazy thing about the Grand Canyon, if you pull up to the Grand Canyon, they got parking lots and all kind of signs and rails. And you know what all the signs say? Stay on this side of the rail. And every year, some idiot falls in the canyon. It's almost impossible to fall in the canyon from the right side of the rail unless somebody just picks you up and hurls you, you know, cannonball, right? Which is murder then. Oh, I'm gonna get right up there. I'm going to run my finger through the flame. Now, I know I don't get through to everybody. Did anybody in this room make life choices early that turned out to be pretty catastrophic in the end and you would encourage someone to think about certain things before you make them? Just stand up. Okay, so every one of these people represent something, and I'm standing. So especially the kids, if you look around this room and the Holy Spirit says, go ask that woman, go ask that man what happened, go ask them. You say, well, these are all these people standing. These are stupid people. They got caught. They just didn't know how to work the system. Let me tell you about the system. The system is steal, kill, destroy. That's your system. And they all worked that system, and it didn't turn out too well, or they wouldn't be standing. And I appreciate your willingness to stand. You may be seated. Now, some of you didn't stand up because it's just not where you are yet. The truth is we've all made stupid decisions, poor life choices. But if you can make poor life choices, you can make great life choices. A Muslim woman called the office the other day off the radio. She was driving somewhere near Oklahoma, maybe in Oklahoma, and she was trying to find a country music station and landed on our broadcast. And she said in the brief moment she was on it, a reference was made to her maker. And she told me later when I talked to her, she said, I've never been moved by something that I heard like that in my life. So she called the office. She didn't know what that was, what happened. And, I mean, grew up Muslim, straight up Muslim. Diane talked to her at the office for quite a while, made some notes. I called her back. She said, I've been waiting for you to call. And I explained to her. I said, look, I said, you heard my voice on the radio, but what happened to you in your car was not me, because I don't even know who you are or where you are and could not possibly have been in your car. She said, I've been to mosques, I've heard imams, I've been to other places. nothing ever moved me like what got moved. I said, now let me be very clear about this. That is the same God, the true God, the one true God who made the entire universe, who reached down and touched your heart. That's him. And before the foundation of the world, before you were ever born, he knew you would be here and he knew you would need him. Well, she said, I was going to go home, get a bottle of vodka, go partying. She said her husband had been cheating on her, just, you know, Muslim, all this Muslim stuff, messed up. She said, it can't be true. So I shared the gospel with her on the phone, and I said, does this make sense? And she said, it does. And she prayed and became a Christian. Now, that is a life choice. And you say, wow, that must be extraordinary, a Muslim getting saved. You know what? Raising the dead, it don't matter what you are. When you're dead, you're dead. If you're a dead Muslim or a dead Buddhist or a dead American, if you're dead, you're dead. Well, but they believe a bunch of stuff. So do you. And if you're not a Christian, what's it going to take to raise you from the dead? Same Jesus. Same Jesus. Don't let who people are and where they're coming from get in the way. You say, oh, but they're angry and they're mean and all that. You know what? Forget all that. Just keep loving them. What did Jesus say in John chapter 14? Let's read this. Go turn to that because it's good stuff. John 14, start in verse 1 really quick. Jesus says to him, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Okay, so that's really simple right there in verse 1. The question is, do you believe in God? You say, well, yeah, I believe in God. He said, then believe in me. Well, wouldn't that be the same thing? Exactly. So if you are at a place where you say you believe in God, all I'm asking you is to include Jesus in that belief, that he is who he says he is, and I'll tell you who he says he is in just a second, that he died on the cross, was buried, raised from the dead, all that to get you into his family, and it's that simple. Let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, or you might have a translation, dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going, and how can we know the way? Like, we don't know, like heaven or wherever that is. Like, you came here, you're going back there. Like, we don't, what are you talking about? And Jesus said to him, so if I needed directions to your house, didn't know how to get to your house, and you were going to give me directions, would you tell me, take this turn, go so many miles, right, left, left, right? Like, those are directions. That's not the kind of information Jesus gave them. We don't know the way. What did he say? I am the way. I'm all the directions you need.
Richard will be back in a moment to wrap up today's talk. But first, I want to share a couple of thoughts with you. Let's be honest. Real life isn't about living some highlight reel for others to see. Most people have deep hurts, questions, and struggles. Well, we get it, and we want to help you in any way we can. So let's keep this conversation going. You can give us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. You can even put in your prayer request right there on the prayer wall. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or online at richardellistalks.com. And now let's get back to Richard with a final word on today's show.
Look what he said. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, you say, well, I don't believe that. Good luck. I didn't say that. That's what Jesus said. He said, well, that's just what you think he said. Let me tell you something. That's what he said, and that's the truth. And you say, well, I don't believe that. And I'm going to say this as gently as I can. You will. You will believe all of this. It'll just be too late. You better get you some Jesus. Because the only directions you're going to get from here to heaven are him. He is the way. So when you've got him and he's got you, you drop dead, boom, you're in heaven. You're alive when he returns, boom. Catch up in the clouds, boom, you're there. That's probably three booms. That's probably enough booms. So I got no towel. I'm not screaming. I'm not hollering, but I'm begging you. I'm begging you. Be reconciled to God. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart in this room and beyond. And like my new former Muslim sister, she made the best life choice you can possibly make, and that's Jesus. And it's amazing once you make that life choice, how he starts to change you from the inside out. and then you can make another life choice that you never thought you could, maybe about abortion. And all of a sudden you're saying, you know what? I don't know what it'll cost me, but it's just not right.
This has been Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. There's only one reason we do this program, to take the planet with the good news of Jesus Christ. That's our message and our mission. And you have a vital part of doing that along with us. If you've been encouraged by these talks with Richard, be sure to share with someone about the change they've made in your life. And we'd love to hear your story as to how the talks have made a difference to you. Give us a call. We'd love to talk with you. 855-6-RICHARD. You can also reach us through our website, richardellistalks.com. And while you're there, check out all the fun and informative pages we put together for you, richardellistalks.com. While you're there, be sure to click on the Contribute tab at the top to send your generous gift. If the program is making a difference to you, your gift will make a big difference to us. Until next time, thanks so much for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.